Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Unfortunately, this is the last week that we get to say that until next Easter, because this is the last Sunday of the Easter season. Next week, we move into Pentecost and Trinity Sunday, and then we move into the season after Pentecost, the time of the church. But we are still in our Easter celebration today, and so we are looking at our epistle reading from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5 with, and probably all with some expression of, huh? After all, he starts off with, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." I thought we were talking about Jesus' resurrection and the joy that comes from it. And yet, here we are talking about suffering. But you know, in reading through 1 Peter, one thing actually becomes abundantly clear. The Christian life is all about suffering. Even in the midst of joy, even as we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, and the new life that he gives us through his new life, there's still suffering. Of course, I suppose it shouldn't surprise us that much that Peter would be talking about suffering. After all, Peter was a persecuted Christian living among persecuted Christians, writing to persecuted Christians in Asia Minor. In fact, virtually all the believers during Peter's lifetime experienced persecution in one form or another. Of the original apostles, only John the Evangelist died of natural causes. Of the early leaders of the church outside the circle of the apostles, most shared in their suffering. And of the early believers, thousands and thousands suffered persecution and martyrdom. And yet, it is still a bit jarring as we come to the conclusion of the Easter season, 7 Sundays marked by jubilation and exaltation as we rejoice in Christ's resurrection, only to be confronted by Peter's words in chapter 4, verse 12, "Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." He tells us not to be surprised when we suffer for Christ. After all, he says, "Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." We are not to be surprised when we suffer, and this is something that many of the apostles tell us about. Peter said earlier in his book, "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for of salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Or then again in chapter 2, "This is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. If when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." Or then Paul says in Romans, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And as if the apostles aren't enough, Jesus himself says that in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." The Christian life is marked by suffering. And there are a lot of different reasons why Christians suffer. We suffer because the world hates God and because the world wants to pull us away from God. The world causes us to suffer in the hope that it will lead us away from God. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 15, all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know who sent me. Some Christians do suffer because the world does not know God. Or we may also suffer not because the world doesn't know God, but because God himself allows us to suffer, because God wishes to test us and show us how strong we really are. When we look through the book of Job, especially the first couple of chapters, we see that is why Job suffered. Job was good and righteous, and yet God caused suffering. We look there, and God tells Satan, okay, you can do whatever you want, just don't kill him. So God allows Job to suffer to prove just how strong Job's faith is. And so Christians do suffer unjustly, whether it's because the world persecutes, whether it's because God tests us, or sometimes we even suffer as a direct consequence of sin. Whether it be our own sin or someone else's sin, sin causes suffering. And yet Peter says, do not be surprised, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. Oftentimes, we really don't like the idea of suffering. We don't enjoy the suffering which Christ allows us to endure. After all, suffering is rarely something that people enjoy. And to be honest, if you truly enjoy suffering, it may mean that there's something psychologically wrong with you. Suffering is, by definition, not fun. And so it is common in the midst of suffering to question God and question why God allows things. Why does God allow these terrible things to happen to his people? Did we do something that causes the suffering? Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Perhaps even questioning, I thought it would be easy to be a Christian, but why is it so hard? Why do God's people suffer? And if you find yourself asking these questions, know that you are not alone. The Psalms are full of such questions. The psalmists repeatedly ask why they suffer. Psalm 6 starts with, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. Or then, Psalm 9, be gracious to me, O Lord, see my affliction from those who hate me, O you who lift me up from the gates of death. So many times the Psalms ask why. Psalm 27, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Or Psalm 31, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. It is normal and it is understandable to question and to have questions for God in the midst of suffering. But then that asks the question, how can we suffer in a God-pleasing way when we are suffering for doing good, meaning suffering for believing in Christ? Remember, we do not suffer alone. Christ has also suffered before us. He suffered everything that we suffer and more to take away our suffering ultimately. Christ suffered the indignity and humiliation of a human birth. To be fully, truly God and then leave that aside to become fully, truly man is suffering, or was suffering for Christ. Christ suffered the lack and want of poverty. After all, it says that the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He wandered alone with his followers with nowhere to call home for most of his life. He also suffered the disgrace and shame of a public trial, standing trial, accused of a crime he did not commit. And then he suffered the pain and suffering of a public execution. He suffered before us. And he suffered all of that not only to forgive our sins and to make us his own and to alleviate our sins in the end, but so that he can empathize with us as we suffer. That is the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is feeling sorry for someone when you don't understand their pain. Empathy is feeling their pain with them. Christ suffered with us so he can empathize with our suffering. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews says when he says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He suffered with us so he can empathize with us, and so he can comfort us when we suffer wrongly for his sake. And furthermore, he also sends us his Holy Spirit, who strengthens us so that we can endure these trials and temptations that come to us. But we also know that the end of suffering does come. At the end, we will have the comfort and the joy of living in heaven with him forevermore, where there will be no weeping and no pain, because all those things will have passed away. There will be no suffering, only the joy. Our suffering for Christ will not last forever. God has placed an end on it. You know, when I think about suffering, Donnie Blanc is the one who has always come to mind ever since I moved here and met him. The last several years, he suffered every kind of loss imaginable. But his suffering is now over, and because of his baptism and the faith that God gave him in his baptism, Christ has restored him by bringing him to himself in heaven. And he does the same, he will do the same for us as well. So therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.